This is Investor IQ on News Radio 570 WWNC.
And we are back. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ. And we were discussing penny stocks before the break. Before we get back into that, I'd like to ask you a question for us. Last week, I meant to talk to you about your name. You're the first Forrest I've ever met in my life. I've never known another
really?
Forrest. That is right. And I was wondering, I mean, I just have to ask this because I told the kids that I know a Forrest now.
Right.
When Forrest Gump came out, I was just kind of curious what happened to you. You know, what kind of pain did that cause in your life?
Well, you know, it was my freshman year of college. I was hoping to get a new start with everything. Then the summer before my freshman year, that movie came out. And, well, everyone had already assumed certain things when I started college. So much for a fresh new start starting college.
Yeah, that could be pretty tough. My dad was named Elmer, which is pretty tough on him. Things started out pretty well, but when he was about 11, Disney came out with that Elmer the Elephant cartoon, and Elmer had this big nose, and he was ostracized, and he could only hang out with the elephants.
Did he get any Elmer Fudd or anything
like that? Yeah, Elmer Fudd came later, and by the time Elmer Fudd came out, and there was Elmer's glue, of course. He had the glue in his hair, and by the time that all happened, he pretty much just moved to his middle name by the time he was 40,
right.
I think. So anyway, that's why I ask. So you're just going to go ahead and stick with Forrest,
I guess. I'll stick with Forrest, because right. Lanier is just about as out there as Forrest is my middle name. So,
all right. So we were discussing penny stocks and what some of the risks are before the break. The problem with penny stocks is that they're often based on stories, and the company really hasn't come into fruition where it's generating cash flows. It hasn't made good on that promise. You're buying essentially a promise a lot of times. Another problem is that companies that are embryonic in nature very often don't have access to funding. Their funding is limited. So to the extent that they get in a bind or we have a credit freeze like we just went through, those companies will very often just be shut out of the capital markets completely and wither away. I should also point out that some companies that are penny stocks aren't what you would think of as being penny stocks. So you want to name a few that are new arrivals, Rob?
Yeah, there's Citigroup that is welcome to this new group,
yeah.
And AIG, and GM was until they later declared bankruptcy.
Yeah. So we've got some behemoth companies that are no longer behemoths. They're trading in the trenches. What else can we tell you about penny stocks? One of the risks when you buy a risky security is that some dealer has to make a market in that security. So if that security is regarded to be particularly risky to the dealer who has to hold it in its inventory, that dealer is going to mark that security up more than it otherwise would. Just like a crummy car on a dealer's lot, it's going to not pay very much for that car, and it's going to try to mark it up more to overcome the risk of holding bad inventory. So when you buy a penny stock, the so-called bid-ask spread can be very, very wide. Penny stocks also fall into the hands of manipulators. Right, Rob?
Right.
So pump and dump, you want to go into pump and dump schemes a little bit?
Yeah, people commonly get emails claiming that some stock is going to be the next big thing, and also message boards on the internet have stocks claiming to be the next Microsoft or the next GE, and these stocks generally are by scam artists who go around promoting small stocks where they're in early and they're trying to unload the shares on people who are going to buy them later, and then the company may
so they're creating false demand,
right,
for the share so that they can sell
that
it into
stock
that demand.
I bought this morning, the guy said it's super secret trade that only him, he's going to share it with me. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that's going to work out just great for you,
okay,
Forrest.
Okay, great.
Good luck with that. another problem with small stocks is that the valuation metrics that you would normally apply to functioning companies don't really apply very well, and the people who are taken into these schemes and scams don't really know to apply them in the first place. We have many clients who think that a mutual fund, for instance, that trades at $20 per share is just intrinsically going to be a better value than a similar fund from a different sponsor where the shares trade at $50 or $60 per share. And nothing could be further from the truth. It's a completely arbitrary figure. It has nothing to do with the underlying value of the company. So Rob, as a securities analyst, when we're looking at individual securities, he might apply, for instance, a price earnings multiple to figure out how many times the price of that stock in relationship to the earnings of that stock or that company per share per year. And you derive a relationship and you see, is this within the normal bounds? Does it imply a huge degree of growth? So what happens, Rob, when you have a penny stock that where the company has essentially no earnings, what kind of price earnings multiple do you get?
You're going to get one that's insanely large.
Or infinite, right?
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
If the price is even 80 cents a share and the earnings are zero, 80 divided by zero is a non sequitur. So if
right,
earnings were, you know, half a penny per share, then you'd have 160 price earnings ratio, which would correspond to something that would be extremely expensive.
Right.
Whereas what would a typical bank stock sell for in terms of price earnings ratio in normal times?
Banks are normally in the 12 to 14 PE range.
Right. So you might run across a bank share that trades for $100 a share, but it earns $8 to $10 per share every year. Mm-hmm. So if you're comparing that to a penny stock that trades at 80 cents a share and it earns a quarter of a penny, now you have a 320-to-1 ratio. You're buying something at a fantastically high price.
Right.
In terms of fundamentals. So that same argument would continue with price to sales ratios, price to cash flow, price to book value. You want to just explain what book value is a little bit, Rob?
Yeah, the book value of a stock is the value of the underlying assets that the company holds. So that would be normally written down due to certain accounting treatments over time, but it normally is a good measure of the assets of the company.
That's right. So that brings us to the end of this segment. You're listening to Investor IQ. My name is Glenn Wessel. If you have any questions, visit wesselinvestment.com or WWNC. You can email us, call us at 232-2000. We'd be glad to take your questions and explore them on the air. We'll be back in just a moment.